All right, there we go. Now baseball. You guys going for the Cubs or the Dodgers? Meaning to come in and play, obviously, not to win, but
whichever one helps the Indians win.
That's a good thing. Obviously, I think the Cubs, Cleveland would be a fantastic story. It really would be, and that's kind of motivation for us too to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with those guys. Okay. Oh, before I start, you guys may or may not know. I don't know that I was in Cincinnati. I was drafted there and coached there. And Jack Brennan, who I think you guys know, he was one of the beat reporters when I was playing, and we had an affectionate name for him in the locker room. And obviously, he's their PR director now. He's retiring, so I just want to wish him well in his endeavors as he goes off and puts the quill pen down wherever he puts it down, and hopefully it's on the beach and picking up a nice margarita or a drink of his choice and enjoy his retirement. So with that, off we go.
He's friends with all of us too. What was the nickname?
It's not bad. It was Jack the Ripper at the time because he would kill us. But, you know, just like it's interesting when you watch the parallels between the teams. You know, the team, Paul Brown, obviously wasn't the founder here, but he was the first coach, and I guess the team was named after him, if you want to go that way, or Jim Brown, however you want to look at it, but it was probably Paul Brown. And then, you know, Mr. Brown moved his franchise, or he got the franchise in Cincinnati, and, you know, the colors and all that. It's an interesting parallel between the two teams and the connections and stuff. But, Jack, you know, we struggled down there for a while, off and on. And then, you know, we went to the Super Bowl while I was there, and then also before I was there when they had Kenny Anderson and Chris Collinsworth and all those guys. And, you know, now we're trying to, you know, look like them. And, you know, our head coach obviously is from Cincinnati. And they turned it around, and they had struggles for a while. And, you know, we're trying to do the same thing. And so Jack Brennan.
We've asked you about Danny Shelton before. Mm-hmm. One of the analytics sites saying he's having an unbelievable year and he's near the top of the league in run stops. Has he been doing what you want him to do as far as run defense?
Well, Danny, I think I mentioned earlier, when we came in, we asked him to make some changes to his game, his body, and his, you know, just him, you know, to be a better player. And, you know, we think he can be a Pro Bowl dominant player. You know, I don't want to put an undue burden on him, but that's what we feel. And we're pushing him to be that. And he did. He changed his body. And you know, that's not easy. We understand. I mean, how hard it is for me to change my habits. And now he has. He's shown flashes of being, wow, dominant in there. And I think the changes we've asked him to make help that. And I was just talking to the team today about him, the defensive team, about, you know, we've asked guys to do some things, and they're for a reason. And he's shown improvement in his play, and I know other teams know that because they make comments to me about it. And so is he coming along? Yes. I think he's maybe now starting to understand I can be pretty good at this level. I think you need validation from somewhere. You may know you're good, but you still need validation, because if it's only in your own mind, what does that mean? But he is taking steps and becoming a leader. He's a very smart player. He works hard. He's got intensity. He's got range. And we just want to see him continue that, not just be a guy that's up and down like a roller coaster, but really be one of the best players. If you can be a stud defensive nose in the AFC North, you can be a stud defensive nose in the NFL. So, and that's what we're trying to push him to be.
This analytics site has him grading out well consistently on their end. Has he been consistent in your eyes through six games? I mean, has he been grading out well with the coaching staff?
No. There's ebbs and flows in games, and maybe it's an opponent that you're playing against that maybe gives you a blocking scheme or a double, or maybe the guy, you know, like a Pouncey or something like that. But for us to get where we want, we have to be very consistent. That's what you want. I mean, you know, there's going to be a game, a player or two that really swings the game. And what we're striving for is our better players to show the younger players, this is how you do it day in and day out in practice. And he does. He works hard. But I think with him, probably himself also, the expectation is more. And it is. And we're going to drive him for more. So Is he playing better or is he playing well? Yes. Can he play better? I think the answer is yes, he can play better, and that's what we're pushing him to do, is be more dominant, more consistent. And if he needs a break to come on out and go back in. So we always want more from all of our players. And then, you know, obviously our coaches too, we want more. And, you know, we push our coaches too to make sure, you know, no stone is left unturned. That means watching every game, going back, watching, you know, film from last year, even though Hugh was there, watching what, you know, Ken Zampezi may do.
Earlier in the year, about Shelton, you said you wanted him to be a numbers-to-numbers guy or something like that, as opposed to a guy that just takes up space in the middle. Is he taking steps to becoming that?
Yes, and more. If you watch film, he's downfield on screens, on alley screens and plays. So, and he does it in practice, too. He's that kind of player. He was, I remember at Washington, at the University of Washington, he was that type player also. So it was something that was in him, and it's just something that we're demanding from him. And he's starting to understand that he's going to be one of our leaders, and he's trying to be one of our leaders.
What do you think about Tracy Howard, who's going to have to be one of the guys that's going to have to step in for Jordan Boyer?
Tracy, I really appreciated his skills at the University of Miami. He played mostly right corner for them down there. And looking at him coming out, I thought he would be more of a free safety than the corner in the NFL. And we've practiced him at free safety, at corner, and also the nickel position. Just his athletic ability, his smarts, and his confidence. He's a very confident young man. And he went in last week and, you know, held his own. And you know, maybe it's a little different when you're not expecting to start. Maybe you just do your normal preparation, and all of a sudden, oh, I go in. Whereas this week, you know, he's known the whole week what he's going to do. So I don't think the action, the game, the play, the opponent, the city will be too much for him. I like his confidence, and I'm excited to watch him play because I've seen him play since he was at Miami, and I'm excited that we have the kid. I think the kid has the ability to play in this league, and I'm glad he's got the opportunity. I'm excited to see what he does.
Ray, what's the biggest challenge for him in going from defensive back to safety?
Well, the corner is a tougher position, in my opinion, because you're going against world-class athletes, and, you know, whether, you know, I often use the term, LeBron would probably be a tight end. He'd be a dominant tight end in the league, and for our guys, they're against more of the wide receiver, sleek, you know, A.J. Green type. Or it's hard to do that. It's, you know, it sounds simple, but it's not at all. And at the safety position, you know, it's less one-on-one and more about protecting us deep, and it's more about angles. And it's really, for me, it's a security position. You cannot miss tackles back there. You have to get the guy on the ground. And so, really, it's your eyes. It's trusting your everything that we do preparation-wise, and just trusting the process that, you know, what we tell you will work. And I think he can handle everything that the position entails, and he may play all three for us now, you know, this week too. So he's proven to be a valuable part of our team.
Ray, I talked to him yesterday. He said you might have been the only coach that thought he would be a safety. Everybody else was looking at him as corner. So what did you see on that Miami film that said you'd like him better safety?
Probably a simple answer would be is the fluidity in his hips. Probably that more than anything.
Ray, when I saw Quinnen Groves had passed, I thought of you first because of the connection and him coming here. From my perspective, I know he was here because of you. What are your thoughts on
Well, I was driving to the airport, and I got a call from a Tennessee Titan coach, and I was shocked to receive a call from a opposing coach right before we played them. I go, what do I owe the pleasure of this phone call? He goes, it's not a good phone call. And he told me, and I was shocked. And I went to my phone and looked at my last message from him, and he was involved in some little league camps, and he wanted me to come down, and the text was on August 22nd. And I replied, you know, I'll do it after the season. And, you know, I am a firm believer, and you don't have tomorrow, I promise you really don't. I, I live my life that way, and I try to impart that on the players here, meaning their career is that way, and in life it's that way. And Quentin Groves is probably one of the most upbeat individuals you've ever met in your life, always a smile, and some players say this, I don't think they mean it, but I think he did. When you asked him how he was doing, he'd always, always answer, I'm blessed. And that's how he lived, and it was shocking and sad, and but also I think for me, I take pleasure in life because I try to live with no regrets and don't look back, and whatever you do it for a reason, and you know, you, there's choices and consequences, and I understand that. But I think at my funeral, if anybody cries, I don't think they knew me, because I try to live my life a certain way. I think he did, and so I took pleasure in that. Boy, was he a joy to be around.
You've been involved with teams in both cities. I mean, you know, Paul Brown has a special place in Cleveland. And mm-hmm. Where do you think he belongs?
Where does Paul Brown? Oh, that way. How about Maslin? And we split it right down the middle. I think I told this story last time I was here about Mr. Brown. He told a story to us about when he went down to Miami and they were going to play the Dolphins there, and they walked into the hotel. And when they came into the hotel, the clerk said, they can stay, but they can't stay. He was talking about the color of the skin of the players. And he says, either we all stay or none of us stay. And, I mean, he was so far ahead of his time, obviously football-wise, and everybody knows the innovations that he brought into football, but I don't know if people know the story, you know, the story behind him. And you know, his son, Mike Brown, the same way, you know, nobody knows the stories of what he's done for former players. And they're a remarkable NFL football family, and one of the founding families in the league. And you know, it's a privilege to have those kind of owners in the league, how they take care of their players as family. And sometimes that gets just, you know, brushed under the carpet, like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter.
I know A.J. Green's been a pro bowler since he's been in the league, mm-hmm. but his numbers have even spiked more this year. What have you seen out of him, and why do you think that is?
I think you'd have to ask Andy Dalton, but maybe it's because they have a newer core receivers next to him, and it may just be a trust factor since Sanu's not there, maybe since Eifert's not playing. I believe it's probably more that, but Andy would have to tell you that. But is AJ playing at a high level? Absolutely. Every week it's up the field, and he's always been that way. He's been a fantastic receiver, meaning he's long and he's lean. He can run up the field. He can high point the ball, and he's probably a little bit like Jerry Rice in that he's got that lean body, but he's a little bit stronger than you anticipate. He's not a Megatron where it's a physical thing, but I just think he's probably, you know, more of a bricklayer mentality. He's got that strong hand, strong lean body, more than the bulky body.
Do